Sportsnet 960 The Fan. 960 on the AM band. Streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. And always on the Rogers Radio app. Talking Calgary sports around the world. The world. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The big insiders. The big controversies. The big debates. Steinberg, Kerr. The big show. Sportsnet 960.
So Brad Treliving joined us yesterday, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, after winning a gold medal as a co-GM at the World Hockey Championships with Team Canada. But on the Flames front...
Give him
front,
some credit, too. Ooh.
Pretty solid group. Yep, pretty solid group for the World Championship. And man, he struggled through 25 minutes with us. I felt so bad for him. So do we know anything more, though, about Calgary's coaching search? It's one of the big questions of the offseason. Bob Hartley, Jacques Cloutier let go at the end of this season, a few weeks after the season. And now, who's going to be the new head coach? And look, Brad's not going to change his policy. He's not going to come on. Guys, by the way, for the longest time I've said I'm not negotiating in public, but for today only, I'll tell you exactly who my list is and who the front runner is right now. That didn't happen. However, did give us a little bit of an update on the coaching process as it stands right now.
It's ongoing. It's been real. It's been an interesting process. We were able to get some work done over there on that. Talking with a number of guys, some in person, some on the phone, and really doing a lot of homework. It's it's one thing to say, okay, I'm just going to go talk to a bunch of guys. I think, you know, in my mind, I've sort of got a group of candidates that you really want to do a lot of homework on them. That's not just talking with them, but, you know, more labor intensive is talking with people that they've worked with and against and been in the same organization with or maybe was a manager with them in, you know, at a different time and place. So you're trying to, in a lot of ways, it's no different than, you know, the research you do on players. And so that part has been really interesting in terms of, a lot of the work that's getting done, but we're progressing, I guess would be the word to say it. You guys have heard me say this going back to our press conference, that there's no magic date here, but like anything, we've got a number of things in our to-do list, and if you can get certain ones checked off, you want to do that. So we're gonna keep progressing here. It's obviously an important decision for us, and I'm very confident that we're going to get the right person and the right fit for our team, and we're under no time crunch, and doing it quickly is not the objective here. It's doing it properly, but it was an interesting time over there. We were able to talk with a lot of guys, like I said, both in person and on the phone, and the process continues.
And there's Brad Treliving a little bit from yesterday when he joined us on the program. You don't get the feeling the team is in a huge rush right now to hire their next head coach. He's willing all-time Pat Steinberg. Big Show continues on this Wednesday afternoon. Do you really get the feeling that this team is, hey, we need to get this coach hired by the beginning of June, or, you know what, June 15th is our cutoff? Like, right now, you don't get the feeling that this team is in a huge rush, and nor should they be in a rush, because I don't think there's any time crunch on this right now. Go through the process for as long as you need to go through the process to find the right guy for the job. That's kind of where I am right now.
Well, and I think you certainly back yourself into a corner of sorts if you go out there and declare a date, like, hey, we're going to have this guy set in place by June 1st or whatever. I just think you're putting yourself in a bad spot to go and maybe put yourself into some pressure in naming somebody quicker than you wanted to, or you wanted to talk to so-and-so before you name this coach, but they're still in the Stanley Cup final. And you just back yourself into a tough corner, I think, if you come out and declare a deadline. So I'm kind of, if you're a Flames fan, you're pretty pleased with what you heard yesterday from Brad Treliving in terms of not in any rush, going to take our time with this one, want to make it right. And I think that's certainly going to find your best guy by doing that, by, you know, thoroughly investigating and talking to every single candidate that's come across your desk. And and that's putting yourself in the best spot to succeed. And you know, we've talked about it a couple of times already through the last couple of weeks. This is one of the most, if not the most important hire Bradtree Living is going to make. So you can't really blame the guy for not putting a timeline on it.
What is the ideal timeline, though?
Like, well, I think if you're any
for
team,
Will Nault, what is the ideal timeline?
I think you probably want to have a coach in place so you can have them at your table in Buffalo at the draft.
See, and I don't think it, like, if you
I don't think it'll be at the end of the world if you don't, but I think ideally that's when I would like to have a coach in place.
Like, if they wait till mid-July to make the decision, I think that's fine. If they make the decision tomorrow, I think that's fine, because I think that at this point, regardless of who the coach is, the vision and the direction of the Flames isn't going to change. Like, what Brad Treliving and Brian Burke have got in place for this group right now, I don't think that stuff changes with whoever the new head coach. They're hiring a head coach to fit their vision. They're not going to fit their vision for their next head coach. So I think, ideally, yeah, I guess if you could have him at your table at the draft, but I mean, what is... this is no knock on Bob Hartley, but how much did Bob Hartley really play into Calgary's draft process over the last number of years?
They don't add much to the draft, but I'm just saying you'd probably like to have it in place because you're trying to focus on other things at that point, and then you're kind of running into free agency. And if you're a free agent, Pat, do you want to sign with a team that doesn't have a coach? I know it doesn't play a huge factor, but, you know, don't you think you'd like to have a coach in place before free agency? Although, on July 1st, and even before some of your RFAs re-up at the end of June, you probably want to have a coach in place for that.
Maybe. It's not the end of the world if they don't. Like, I think Monahan and Gaudreau are still going to sign if they...
No, I certainly think so, but for some of those bubble guys, like a guy like Josh Juris...
But what else is Juris going to do? Like,
well, I'm not saying you don't have any choice, but I just think that if you're a free agent... Okay, we're talking UFAs in July 1st, then, if you don't want to talk about RFAs. I think that, you know, if you're being smart about it,
I do get your point.
You're going to want to have a coach in place by that.
No, because
the GM's got other things that are higher on the priority list at that point, i.e. signing free agents, i.e. making trade phone calls. You probably want to have a coach in place.
Now, how active do you think the Flames are going to be in free agency, though? Because I don't know how much of an ability they're even going to have to be overly active. I mean, they might make a minor signing here or there, but I can't really see I can't really see this team going hard into free agency. Even like, they didn't go hard into it last year. They did sign a big player in Michael Frolik for 5 years, but I don't see them even going that deep into the free agent waters this year.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be overly active by any means, but you never know, I guess.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I think the coach will be in place before the draft. Like, I don't think it's imperative. I don't think if they were to go into a draft without a coach, that they couldn't do their thing in Buffalo.
Yeah, like maybe they're two guys away or whatever. They got two guys left on their list, and they don't really have a decision by the time they go to the Buffalo. I think it happens a couple of days after that.
Yeah.
But I certainly think if I'm Bradtree Living, I want to get as much of that out of the way as I can before I go to the draft and then get set for free agency and qualifying RFAs at the end of the month.
And the only reason why I think it might stretch out a little longer is because if they want to do their due diligence and if they want to make sure that they are interviewing all the guys they need and guys they want to interview might be still involved in the Stanley Cup final, then all of a sudden Stanley Cup final comes to an end. You interview one or two coaches who perhaps are coaching in the Stanley Cup final, and then all of a sudden you got to make a decision after that. That's the only real reason I could see it stretching beyond the draft. I do think it's in place before then. Is it the end of the world if it's not? No. And I don't really feel like there's much of a time crunch right now for them to get it done by a certain date. But most likely, draft is a month away. Should they have a coach in place in the next month? I would put pretty decent money on the answer being yes to that.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, should we place some bets? Like, you know, over under June 10th?
Okay, what's your... You give me a date think it'll be by...
Well, the draft is the 24th?
24th and 25th, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go... June 7th, 8th, or 9th, they'll name their coach.
Okay.
So I'm going probably next full week, you won't hear anything. The week after that, we'll hear something midweek.
I will say after June 9th.
Nice.
after between June 9th and June 20th or something like that is when I think they'll get it done. Text comes in and says, fellas, can you clarify something for me? Was Hartley in his last season as head coach, or did he just have a new extension that the Flames will be paying for however many years? Well, he signed the new extension in the
midway point of last season.
Yeah, just after the midway point of the playoff year, so the 14-15 season. It was a two-year extension, so he has 1 year left on his extension that they'll be paying for, and that'll be this season. He coached one of the years in his extension last year, and the second year was this year.
Outside, 1-2.
Is that coming from one of our computers? Yeah. Yep, coming from mine. Just go. You have Major League Baseball up, Major League Baseball's website up.
Sometimes they'll
auto
play the old game for you.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, the Giants game comes up.
And again, it's, you know, essentially it's dead money. It's not like it's a salary cap or anything like that. They're just paying Hartley.
So that is the timeline side of things. There is one area that Brad gave us a little bit of guidance on yesterday, and I think it's a pretty interesting guidance, and that's on the rest of the coaching staff. So we know that when the team fired Bob Hartley and Jacques Cloutier, they retained Marty Gelina as an assistant coach, Jordan Sigalette as goaltending coach, and Jamie Pringle as video coach. At least those were their titles prior to this new coaching staff that's coming in. And so at the time, he kind of thought they were in that limbo land. It's like, okay, they've been retained, but we don't know who the next head coach is going to be, so not exactly sure their future with the organization. Well, Brad did clarify that a little bit yesterday when he joined us on the program.
The staff members that are here, obviously, we got Marty and Jordan Prings, who I think a great deal of. So, those guys are going to be involved in the organization going forward, and we'll have those discussions of how we, you know, who does what, and how we build the staff, and, you know, what responsibilities are going to be, who's going to handle what. So, you know, those are good people, and I think anybody coming in is going to be in a great position to have good people with them. But, you know, whether that's another person, another two people, we'll see, that are added to the staff, those are things to be determined. But I do feel that the guys that are with us here right now are going to be moving forward with us once we're up and going here with our new head coach.
So I think that's kind of interesting. That confirmed right there that Gelina, Sigalette, Pringle all going to be staying with the organization, and that was kind of up in the air prior to hearing that news yesterday. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And first off, happy for those three guys. I'm glad that they're going to remain with the organization because they're genuinely awesome people. So for Marty, Jordan, and for Pringle, that's awesome. I'm glad they're staying with the organization. But it is interesting knowing that, you know, the next head coach they hire will probably have some guys already in place when he comes in, as opposed to a new coach kind of bringing in his entire staff. And it's not unusual. It's not something that would be brand new or unprecedented or anything like that. It is kind of interesting, though, that we don't know what roles the guys are going to play. We don't know if Pringle's going to stay in exactly the same position or if Marty will stay in exactly the same position. But there's a chance that whoever the new head coach will come in with part of the coaching staff already in place.
Well, it's funny because I think you and I interpreted that answer a little bit differently. I think that certainly, you know, they're going to come back to the organization, but again, what's their role? I'm not really exactly sure.
We could see
one of those three on the coaching staff, right? Or you could see none of those three on the coaching staff, but a different role in the front office. All he kind of said was they're still with the organization. So certainly, it could look like a completely different coaching staff next year. You could see two of those guys back. You could see, you know, Sigalette and Gelina back. You could see Pringle in a different role in the front office. Mm-hmm. You could see an eye in the sky. I don't know what the coaching staff looks like, but certainly they do want to retain those guys. Tree Living, like you just mentioned, they're good people. So Tree Living thinks highly of them, would like to keep them in the organization, but to which role, we do not know the extent right now. I just think that if I'm a new head coach, like, you know, you probably want a little bit of say into what your staff looks like. And you know, certainly Tree Living knows that, I would imagine. So he's probably not going to handcuff the new coach too hard and you know, let them have a little bit of freedom to what he believes those three guys mm-hmm. and what their roles could be. But certainly positive because, you know, it's always good to have those type of people in your organization. And obviously Tree Living thought that highly of them to keep them when making the decision a couple of months ago.
And definitely the actual roles that these guys play could change. change. But I do think it's interesting because not every coach gets to come in and choose their entire staff. Not sometimes coaches come in and the assistants are already laid out for them. Sometimes a coach comes in and one assistant's there and he brings another guy with him. And you know, I think that's kind of an interesting little wrinkle. I mean, in a lot of ways, I mean, I think Bob Hartley certainly had a hand in bringing Marty Jelena into the organization, but I think as much as anything else, that was the Flames going to target Marty Jelena and them bringing him in. So, you know, I'm, and I think that, again, if you're Bob Hartley, a lot of this coaching staff you had a say in, but I mean, Jordan Sigalet came up from
the minor league system
and was in Abbotsford before he got his way to
the
Calgary.
Yeah, so it's not like Bob Hartley knew him before that.
And it's not like Bob Hartley hired him. Yeah. So do I think the new coach will have some autonomy as to what his coaching staff will look like? Yeah, but I also think there's a chance that Marty Jelena is back on the bench next year and that, you know, Pringle and Sigalet are in similar roles as they were, or the same roles they were last year. I just think that'll be a very interesting kind of wrinkle to see how it plays out once this new head coach is hired. And I don't know if that gives you a hint as to whether it's going to be a veteran head coach or a younger head coach, because you could kind of interpret it either way. But I do think that was a very interesting kind of small piece of news that Brad gave us yesterday.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, like you said, you don't know what's going to be on the bench or who of those three will be on the bench, but yeah, I don't know. Text comes in and says, what do you think about Jelena being the head coach?
I think that there's a chance that he'd be in the
I certainly think he's in that, you know, he's probably put his name in the hat, gave Brad a call.
Never been a head coach before.
Yeah, so that's a little tough to make your first jump in the NHL.
Because remember, he went from being a player to player development to then being an assistant coach, and then it would be the jump to being a head coach. And maybe he's ready to do that. Maybe, I don't know. But do I think that he would like to be in that spot? Probably. And do I think that he's a guy they've at the very least kicked around and talked about? Yeah, probably they have. So we'll wait and see. But we do know that the coaching search is ongoing. We do know that Brad had talks with a number of guys, whether it be on the phone or in person in Russia. And we do know that Marty Jelena, Jamie Pringle, and Jordan Sigalet will be staying with the organization in some capacity. That was all confirmed yesterday. He's Will. I'm Pat. This is the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're running out of time for you to win one of the one-night stands. You know, most of the on-air guys have all gone out with one group to do this one-night stand. Will, you went out a couple of weeks ago. I had the opportunity to go out a few weeks ago. You hang out with a group of guys, and basically all you're doing is drinking.
Pretty much, you're hanging out with pals,
talking sports.
Drinking, eating, and talking sports.
And it's even like, that's for us. We get it's a pretty good deal for us. It's an even better deal for you, because here's how it works. You get picked up in a limo, you and five of your friends hop in that limo, and then you're going off to a group activity, having some fun in the early afternoon. Then you're going from there, you're heading to the Wild Rose Brewery in the Curry Barracks. You're having some beers and some food there. And then from the tap room, the Wild Rose tap room, you're going on a 4-bar pub crawl, and it's all taken care of by Wild Rose. Nobody's driving except the sober limo driver. So everybody's having fun. It's a good time, and we still have an opportunity for you to win another one-night stand. Go to sportsnet.ca/960. As a fan club member, you can tell us which fan 960 personality you want to hang out with at Wild Rose Tap Room. Once again, sportsnet.ca/960. It is the Wild Rose Brewery one-night stand. Here we are on Wednesday, and it wouldn't be a Wednesday if we didn't hear this.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo! Hump day?
Hey, guess what day it is?
Hump day!
Hump day! It's hump day!
Yeah. Hey, Mike!
Guess what day it is?
It's not even Wednesday.
Let it go, Phil. If you're a camel, you put up with this all the time. It's what you do.
So that is my favorite part of a Wednesday, unless my Wednesday includes Michigan Monday. And this Wednesday just happens to include Michigan Monday. So from our favorite camel to our favorite NHL play-by-play announcer, next on the Big Show.
I don't know what else to say.
This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary sports fans get their fix on the Big Show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960.
All their players pretty much played better than all our players for 40 minutes. All our players played probably better than them for 20 minutes. That's it.
So Lightning head coach Sean Cooper was not happy last night. I don't think Dave Mishkin was happy last night.
Come on, he was happy.
I haven't heard any of these clips.
Neither have I. This is exciting.
But the Lightning fell 5-2 in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final last night.
I don't know what else to say.
Forcing a Game 7 tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. 5 goals scored in Tampa's building. The Lightning were a win away from the Stanley Cup Final.
Let me guess, Mishkin saw all the 5 goals coming.
All the 5
goals. You just see it coming. 40 seconds.
Let's see if we get any of those today. It is time for Mishkin Mondays, the moment that you've all been waiting for.
This is about to get right out of control.
Yes, it is. Hi, Lou. Okay, so we've got 7 goals to play. 5-2 was the final score yesterday. Did not get off to a good start. Let's see how Dave Mishkin dealt with the start of this hockey game. And for those who have asked, was unable to track down the Jonathan Drouin.
Would have been
no
gold, though.
Don't think that he would have been happy, although it was the right call. It was very clearly offside. But here is Dave Mishkin's first call last night. Lightning did not get off to a good start on home ice. Phil Kessel on a 5-on-3 makes it 1-0.
Even a Malkin right circle. Right corner Crosby off his stick. Who's going to get it? Garrison does in the far corner, trying to clear it. Malkin blocks it. Holds it in center point. Evgeny Malkin shoots. Deflected wide left. Even a Letang, 28 seconds left in the penalty. Back from Malkin. Center point. Right circle Crosby, a centering feed. Kessel, it's in. Puck luck. Bounced off his stick and in.
Whoa. Puck luck.
No skill at all.
Didn't even give us a score on that one.
Right circle Crosby, a centering feed. Kessel, it's in. Puck luck. Bounced off his stick
and luck.
In. Puck luck. That was pretty good hand-eye coordination from Phil the Thrill there. No credit at all to number 81.
It's all luck, man. It's all puck luck.
1-0 pitch.
You notice how they like the goal calls at the end of the clip? Maybe they purposely cut Phil out or something.
Puck lock bounced off his stick and in.
That's a good drop there, right there.
Puck lock.
That's outstanding.
That's gonna be his answer to everything.
Puck lock.
Puck lock.
All right, so it was 1-0 after.
Well, I'm sure he handled this one well.
And then Chris Letang made it 2-0 Pittsburgh.
Palat trying to center it for Johnson. It got knocked away, and Bonino at the end of a long chip carries to center ice. Has Sheary with him though. Sheary into the Lightning zone right circle. Connor Sheary right circle Letang. Shoot, score. Lightning applied some pressure, but couldn't get it past Murray, and Letang off the rush on the counter makes it 2-0 Pittsburgh with 12:20 left in the second.
Oh, they did cut off Phil on that one.
See, they don't like Phil too much anymore.
Well, maybe it's because everybody is starting to catch on. What is happening on that broadcast? Apparently, the Lightning broadcast did not like the third Penguins goal. This ended up being the game winner in the final minute of the second period.
Dumoulin at the left point. Dumoulin back for Matt Cullen, left circle. A pass by the Lightning net stolen by Strawman. Right side, Kucherov. Swings it out, Tyler Johnson up the middle at center ice. Ran into a poke check. Half a minute to go in the period. Crosby on the counter.
Oh,
trying to walk
God.
It alone. Shoot, score.
Oh, come on.
Huge goal for Crosby to make it 3-0. He broke right around a couple of Lightning players and beat Vasilevsky on a clean breakaway. Half a minute to go in the period. Crosby on the counter.
Oh,
trying to walk
God.
It alone. Shoot, score.
Oh, come on.
There's Phil.
Yeah, I thought we weren't going to get
him out. You can't keep him out every clip.
I thought we weren't going to get him.
He will not. Lay down.
Oh, counter, trying to walk it alone. Shoot,
oh,
score.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
I don't know what else to say.
Phil has been he's been pretty depressed here most of the times we've heard him.
Come on.
So 3-0 Penguins after 40 minutes of play. This was not a very good scene in Tampa Bay. But credit to the Lightning. They started to fight their way back, and early in the third, we heard a little bit earlier about this.
Puck luck.
That wasn't really puck luck for Phil Kessel. This was a little bit more puck luck as the Lightning finally get on the board.
The draw is won by Pittsburgh. Letang, left point shot, same made Vasilevsky. Rebound pinballs to Potkat on the left wing. It'll hurry it out of the zone. It's going to bounce to Brown. Right side, Brian Boyle. Speeds across the blue line, right circle. Has Colburn in front. The centering feed. Score! That's for Colburn. Touch stop, and it does go in. The Lightning are on the board.
Came out of nowhere.
3-1 with 14:30 left to go.
He was so morose.
Speeds across the blue line, right circle. Has Colburn in front. The centering feed. Score!
That's impressive to go from one into the next.
0 to 60.
And then it got even closer. Boyle again.
Cullen and Boyle to the right of Murray. One by Pittsburgh. Cullen does it again. Lovejoy scoops it a high, mile high into the Lightning defensive zone. No icing. Braden Coburn back in his own end. Feet up the middle for Boyle. Left side to Drouin. Skates across the blue line, left circle. Drops it. Left circle, Slater, Cuckoo. Cross ice feed, Boyle, right circle. Brian Boyle. Shoot! Score! Boyle again! Top shelf! It's 3-2 with 7:17 left. Boyle again!
Whoa. Settle down, Dave.
Whoa.
Boyle again!
Big Brian Boyle fan.
Well, he was good last night. He scored a couple goals. Goes from 3-0 to 3-2. The building is electric. This place is out of control. The Lightning are pushing. They're pushing. They're pushing. And then breakdown. Brian Rust ends this game. Here is the nail in the coffin. The rusty nail in the... Okay, never mind. Here's Brian Rust's goal.
2.5 minutes left. The Lightning continue to generate chances. Still down 3-2. Victor Hedman to center ice. Flips it for Cuckoo. He'll chase it across the blue line into the right corner. Cuckoo hammers one of the Penguins. That was only Mata. Mata got the puck anyway. Slips it up the near side of Kunitz. There's a man open. Here is a breakaway chance. Brian Rust. Rust alone. Score. The Lightning pinched. Got caught, and Rust buries on a breakaway chance to make it 4-2 with 2:08 left.
You can always tell when something bad's happening because Philly...
Slips it up the near side of Kunitz. There's a man.
Like, if you're
got
listening at
anyway,
home,
slips it up the near side of Kunitz.
If you're listening, like, if you're driving around in Tampa, Florida,
trying to follow the puck,
and you're like, okay, what's going on? Okay, who's got, something bad's about to happen for Tampa because Phil's always got you.
Slips it up the near side of Kunitz.
And then the empty net goal to close her all out.
Bonino looking to center it, loose in front. It's going to be intercepted by Tyler Johnson, who counters with 1:04 left. Tyler Johnson on the left wing rolls it in and chases. Lost the handle. It rolls out of the zone. And Bonino will skate toward the open net. Nick Bonino looking toward the open net. Shoots it toward the open net and scores. Now that'll do it. 5-2 Pittsburgh. The empty netter for Bonino. And we will have a game 7 on Thursday in Pittsburgh.
Well, I thought Phil might have just dropped the mic and left by that point. After the Rust goal, I thought he might have just been done for the night.
Uh-oh.
Catter trying to walk it alone. Shoot, score.
Oh, come on.
Come on. So I always love the text response.
Got the puck anyway. Slips it up the near side of Kunitz.
So the Crosby call is the best one yet. Michigan is beyond pissed and Phil is just bewildered. Love it.
Walking alone. Shoot, score.
Oh, come on.
Guys, was so sad when you were using the Penguins feed last night. This segment has made me feel a whole lot better. Listen to Phil do color on a game is like watching a game with my dad. Not a bad thing, just not great radio.
And then the one text, who scored again?
Yeah.
Boyle again!
The Phil uh-oh sounds like the camel from the beginning of the commercial.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we gotta pull it up.
Oh, wait, hang on. I'll get the Phil ready.
Okay.
You got the...
Yeah, I'm ready to go over
here. Hang on. Okay, yeah, we're good to go.
Okay, go.
Slips it up the near side of Kunitz.
Uh-oh.
Near side of Kunitz as a man. Slips it up the near side of Kunitz as a...
You can't even tell which one's which.
Slips it up the near side of Kunitz as...
Oh, that's amazing. And the bright
the near side of Kunitz.
The bright side is we have...
Wow. I don't know what else to say.
The bright side, we have at least one more Michigan Monday this year. It's true. Is the bright side. The bad news is Friday's edition of Michigan Monday might be our last one of the year because it's game 7 for Tampa. I don't know how I wanted to go because on the one hand you're like, how much longer can we listen to this? And on the other hand, it's like, it's pretty fun. I kind of want to keep on doing it. So I kind of want Tampa to win so that we can have at least 4 more Michigan Mondays this year.
It never fails, does it? Like, it's always just unbelievable.
Score.
Oh, come on.
Uh-oh.
Some good drops in this one.
Wow.
The near side of Kunitz has a man open. The near side of Kunitz has a...
Shooting. Score! Garrison! Garrison! Garrison!
That's from
Wilson.
That's from... Well said. So there you go.
Garrison!
Another edition of Michigan Mondays in the books, ladies and gentlemen.
That's unbelievable.
We even were able to find out that Phil and the Camel sound the same.
Uh-oh.
And then Phil sounds very similar.
Puts it up the near side of Kuna, says,
it's the same guy.
We'll have to make something in the commercial break because we got a couple requests. Boys, cut it up. So Phil says, uh-oh, come on, puck luck, and then right after a breakaway. Classic.
It wouldn't be all that. It wouldn't be all
I'm
that
literally only cheering for Tampa to hear these clips. They make my entire day. We can do this 82 games a year. Find a sponsor.
We could probably do it after every Lightning game. Like, it's better in the playoffs because I think
he gets so
Phil's
into
a
it.
Little bit more dialed in during the playoffs, but good stuff. Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito, everybody.
Garrison!
We're live on location on Friday. The next time we will do Michigan Monday is Friday, and we'll be live on location from Big Four Motors, 7330 McLeod Trail South, as we're hanging out once again at one of the Kids Sports Spring Equipment Drive drop-off spots. All of the Wood Auto Group locations are also drop-off spots for Kids Sport Calgary. Big Four Motors, Calgary's original Jeep store, boasting an unsurpassed selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Around the corner, well, just what are the Flames thinking at number 6 overall? Because we're about a month away from the 2016 NHL draft. We'll go a little deeper into where the Flames might be picking and what they might be looking at next on the big show. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary sports fans get their fix on the big show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960.
So what are the Flames thinking at number 6 overall in next month's NHL draft? Here we are, May 25th, a month away from the 2016 draft in Buffalo. The Flames draft number 6 overall. They've got 3 picks in the second round, so this is a very, very big opportunity coming up for them in the 2016 NHL draft. Well, let's find out some insight now from a gentleman who only provides insight. Assistant General Manager Craig Conroy joined the boys this morning, Boomer and Pinder on the morning show, and started with kind of taking a look at that number 6 pick. How many guys would the Flames be looking at in and around that area if and when they go to the podium at number 6 overall? Here's Craig Conroy from this morning.
I think there's a group of 5 to 6 players, if I have to, that I would say, hey, these guys could go in, depending upon who liked them.
Yeah.
There's 5 or 6 guys for those next 3 spots that I think would have no problem going. You know, if you said we need this type of player, they could take, you know, whichever one it might be. I see that. I don't see many more than 6, though.
Interesting. It seems like you're in that group of 6. You could take your pick of best defenseman available, and there's a few candidates out there, or that second tier of forwards. How do you weigh the risk and reward of taking a D-man versus a forward? Because it does seem to be a little bit easier to swing and miss on a D-man high in the draft.
Well, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, defense, we feel like we're pretty solid at defense. We have good young guys. You know, we've locked you up for a long time. But there definitely is a couple of intriguing defensemen. And if they were there, you know, that's why we talked about yesterday. Let's put the list in order. We don't want to draft by position. You know, Brian Burke mentioned in the meeting, too, and Brad said, hey, let's just get the order the way we like it. If we like a defenseman ahead of the forward, you know, let's do that. If we like the forwards ahead of the defenseman, we just have to make sure we don't want to go in saying, well, our need is a forward, so let's put the forwards ahead. We said, no, let's just order them in the way we think they are as players, and then we'll go from there. So, I mean, there's been some good discussion. It took us a long first day of the meetings yesterday. It took a long time, and, you know, especially when after we got through those first, you know, 3, it took a long time until 10. So it was a battle.
Yeah, so it didn't take long to evaluate 1 and 2?
No, it was pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, maybe, you know, if you could ever get up there, that'd be great.
So,
I'm not holding my breath, though.
Yeah. So you said it takes a while to get down to 10. That 10, your top 10 as a team, do you feel like that's cemented now, or is it still very much in the up for debate stage?
I feel it's pretty, you know, I mean, I think it's funny because in the prior meetings, you know, I think in January, it has moved a little bit. You've seen guys that have really stepped up and moved in and, you know, that we like more than we did a few months ago. So I would never say, but we're not going to get many more viewings on these guys, you know. So I really do think it's kind of cemented in now the way we like it.
Mm-hmm. Very close to home.
And then we go to the combine. I say that, then we go to the combine, and then you're doing your medicals and all that. If something came up that was a red flag, then it could change a little bit. So I don't want to say it's 100% done.
Well, there was a huge red flag a couple years ago, and you guys looked past it to take Sam Bennett. So I would guess if there's one thing you guys have learned from experience is not to read too much into that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as long as you know with the injuries and the doctors talk and they say he's going to be 100% healthy, if there's something that they feel isn't going to be okay and in 5 years he's going to have a major, major problem, then you really got to look at it. But with Sam, hey, he's going to be done for a year, but he's going to be fine. You know, so we're like, oh, okay, perfect. Let's, you know, then we don't have an issue with that.
You had a bunch of picks in the first and second round last year. This year the same, although Dallas couldn't do you the favor with that Game 7 loss to St. Louis. You'll pick at 35, 53, and 55 for the 3 second-rounders. If you use them, and I know that's a nice chip to have at the table, those three picks, or chips, I should say, what does the second round look like? How is the depth of this year's draft? Because we always hear about the top 4, 5, 10 guys, but what about the guys that you could get at 35 to 55? Are you confident with that group?
You know, it's some interesting guys. I don't think it's as deep, to be honest. But I do feel like there's some good players that we really like that could maybe not help us right now, but you figure, hey, it adds some good depth. And moving forward, if one of them pops, you know, you'd be pretty excited. I mean, we talked about, hey, you know, with three picks, you could take some flyers on some guys. A guy with skill that, you know, maybe you wouldn't just say it's the – you never want to pick a safe player. You never want to say, oh, it's a safe pick, because there's really no safe picks, you know. But, you know, maybe we take a flyer and a couple guys, hey, we really like this defenseman or we like that player. We grab a goalie. You know, you never know. It gives you so many options, and it will let you take some more chances and not risk, but, you know, kind of take a few more stabs at it.
Chatting with
but
Craig,
I do like some of the players there for sure. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, chatting with Craig Conroy, the defense is interesting because depending on which list you look at, you have Jacob Chychrun out of Sarnia, you've got Sergachev with the Windsor Spitfires, and then Ollie Ulivi, who's still playing for the London Knights up in Red Deer. Depending which list you look at, I know ISS has Chychrun number one. A lot of people feel like Ulevi's at the top of that list. Sergachev somewhere in the mix. Do you have a definitive 1-2-3 as to who you covet more, or even a definitive 3, and then maybe the other two are perhaps on a rotation?
Well, I have a 1 for myself personally.
Yeah,
I have 1 I like way better than the other two. You know, so for me, it's not even close, but.
So,
you know, they're all good.
Yeah.
I do like one way better than the other ones.
So are you going to go to Red Deer and watch them play on Sunday?
I don't know. I went up to Red Deer the other day. It's the London games aren't great, boy. I'll tell you. They've been that Marner, he's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
How tough is that, Craig, when you are watching, let's say, a 9-1 game? Is that a tough evaluation night from a scouting perspective?
It is, because, you know, guys kind of – not that they go through the motions, but you know when it's not, everything's not on the line, and it is nice that, you know, when Hunter puts those guys out for 2 minutes on the power play every time, even when it's 8-1, you're thinking, geez, here they come again for the whole 2 minutes. I'd hate playing against them because I'd be just fuming if they did that to me, but that's kind of, you know, Hunter's MO right now as a coach. Like, he's going to run it up and he's going to play his best players, and you know, you see Marner out there killing a penalty and it's 8-1. I'm thinking, really? Maybe somebody should be taking a shot at this guy, a slap shot. That would drive me crazy. But it is tough to evaluate when the games don't, you know, they're just kind of going through the motions in the second half of the game.
So take me inside the room for a moment, and I want to use that example. You have, out of that defense group, you have one that's a clear-cut number one for you. How adamant or how outspoken are you going to be to try and state your case and basically win the room over that they too should all see things the way you see it?
First, I hope they just see it my way, and then I don't have to do that. But, if not, they, you know, I'll just mention why I think he's so good, what he does better than everybody else, and where I see him in the future. But in the end, though, like Brian said, hey, we don't have as many viewings on these guys as the amateur scouts. I mean, Todd Button and his staff does an unbelievable job. So I literally, you know, I put my 2 cents in, but at the end of the day, you know, we got to let Todd and his staff make the decisions. But I do, I definitely let them know where I stand on different guys. I might swing it a little bit, but not much.
So when there isn't a consensus, where does the buck stop? Is it with Todd? Is it with Brad? Is it Burke?
You know what? Actually, it's the group as a whole. What you do is, so we all do our reports. We put in our ratings. We put in everything. So, you know, sometimes they say, well, I like this guy better. They're like, but yeah, but you gave him higher hockey sense, higher skating, higher skill, higher compete, higher use of size, higher, you know, you go through all the criterias and you gave this guy all a 2. The other guy you gave 2s, 2s, 3s. You know, why would you do that then? And then the guy's like, oh, mm-hmm. You're right. You know, because you just might like a player more, but when you really, you know, start breaking it down, hey, and there might be a guy that have all 2s, but we feel there's a better fit with a guy with, you know, he might be a 1 hockey sense. We think this might be a Ryan O'Reilly type guy. He's got great hockey sense. He's smart. Not the best skater, you know, but he's got all the other stuff, and we want him ahead of the other guy. You know, so, I mean, we go through. It's quite lengthy, and actually this year there hasn't been as many, not fights or arguments. I mean, there's great discussion, but it's been you know, I think in the end, we've come up with a consensus as a group. I think Todd definitely, he can, you know, he can maneuver it a little bit more than anyone else because he's doing most of the talking. So it's fun to watch how they do it. But the guys pretty much, once they look at it and they see everybody's and it's all up on the board at the same time, you know, it really kind of is like a puzzle and it makes sense. So, you know, more than not, there's nobody that's really, you know, there's a couple guys that have fought for guys, and we've just set those guys aside, and we're going to come back and revisit them to today, you know. But it's not in those first 10 or 15. It's about 15 to 20, 32, I guess.
So when I imagine this is going to be a fun draft. You've got potentially an expansion draft in a year. You do have the cap coming up a bit. There's a lot of high-profile free agents, teams with cap issues. If you're going to move assets around on draft day, when do those conversations start in terms of moving picks or trying to jump up or getting rid of players? Are the seeds already being planted now for the end of June?
For sure. I mean, Brad's having those conversations, but Todd did make a point, Brad, yesterday in the meeting. Hey, if we're going to move all the picks like last year, could we do it before, you know, before Friday? Because, I mean, they were working like, you know, when you have those picks, you're really grinding and you want to make sure everything's perfect. And then we traded all the picks away.
Yeah.
You know, so those guys are like, oh, that was a tough conversation last year to walk in and say, yeah, we just moved, you know, our first and a couple set. They're like, what? They thought I was kidding at first, but, you know, I'm like, no, we're going to get Dougie and then we're going to move on. And you know what? The guys are great. They understand. They, hey, good move. And, you know, obviously they would have loved to make all those picks because the opening speech was, this is the most picks we've ever had in the first 2 rounds with the Calgary Flames. And then they were all gone.
So there you go. Craig Conroy, the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. He joined Boomer and Pinder this morning. And lots and lots to talk about when it comes to Calgary at number 6 overall. Are they going to keep the pick? Are they going to move the pick? And who are they going to take if they end up keeping it? Didn't give us definitive answers because they can't right now. They're still a month away from the draft, but some pretty good insight there from the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're about 90 seconds away from your headlines. Matty Rose has got that next here on the big show. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.